Imagine you are an artist in a small fishing town on Vancouver Island, BC, whose range of influences goes from Andrei Tarkovsky to John Coltrane to Arthur Cleveland Bent to Arthur Janov to Bernadette Mayer to Wanda Landowska to Ulipo, and you read an Ulipo novel that has a reference to a small fishing village on Vancouver Island called Hammertown. Any real poet starts a serial poem in the vein of, as it was described last night, Charles Olson's Gloucester, or William Carlos Williams' Patterson, or Joanne Kiger's Bolinas. A deep sense of place rendered in mostly open form. Peter Cully is that real poet and is a real photographer who lives in the Nanaimo district of BC and is here today to talk about Parkway, the latest and last segment of his Hammertown trilogy. So great to have you in town and to hear some of your work in the flesh.
Oh, I thought it went pretty good last night.
I thought so too, yeah. Your range of influences is stunning. It seems considerably wider than that of the average person in Nanaimo. It would be stunning to any town, not just Nanaimo, but especially Nanaimo, it seems to me. How did you get so tapped into these artists and musicians and scientists that you refer to in your work?
I think a lot of it is a kind of autodidact, magpie-like love of learning and showing off of that learning in a certain way. Responding to it, something, a lot of what I do in poetry is in response to things that I like it when other people do. So I like it when people are free with their influences and to talk about very specific things that they like, because that allows you to go in and like investigate that yourself. That was always the way I took those things in other people's poems. The same way I really like proper nouns in poems. I like to see names and of streets and people and places. In other people's poems, when I first read Frank O'Hara, I didn't know who any of those people he was talking about were. I found out later, but it didn't really affect my first reading of them, and I just think they're nice things to have in poems.
Well, they have a certain kind of power, and they evoke a certain kind of mood or tenor or any number of things.
Well, yeah, no, and it's too, and it's ways of using authority in my work. It's just sort of like that it is contained too, is partly in that autodidactic show-offiness is a kind of borrowing of the power of sort of other people who sort of try and bring in to kind of bolster your architecture, but they just do appear. It's not planned.
Yeah. How did you end up in Hammertown, in Nanaimo?
Well, my dad was a Brit who immigrated and joined the Canadian Air Force in 56, and I was born in 58. And we grew up in Air Force bases all over Canada. I might talk about that a bit some more later. But the last posting my dad had was to Nanaimo in 72, and he got out there, and that's just where we ended up sort of staying as a family. And just a few years out of high school, I met a woman who I ended up staying with and being with, and so it's like that was always where I was, and there was, I've spent time living in Vancouver, but Nanaimo's always been my sort of base of operations.
George Bowring was also in the Air Force, wasn't he?
He was RCAF. I think he worked in air reconnaissance, like taking pictures out of planes. Yeah. Well, the RCAF, it's a project I'm thinking about a lot. It's a very, occupies a very particular place in the history of the Cold War. It was a very small, but sort of fairly important strategically, because the Canadian Air Force was in charge of the Pine Tree Line. And the line behind the distant early warning line, and the bases I grew up in, Strong Cross Canada, were all on the Pine Tree Line. So he was working either as a radar tracking or communications or various teaching different points.
Is that an upcoming writing project?
Yeah, that's my Pine Tree Line. I want to visit all these bases, which are all now abandoned, and photograph them and try and write about them and think about them, because it's like I'm just reading on my up on my Cold War history now, and it's a big part of ways to think about the way networks work. You know, the fact that my dad, the whole time when we were kids, was also a amateur radio operator. So he's tapped into this sort of vast Cold War network, which ends up in, all the information ends up in the biggest computer in the world, Sage, right? But at the same time, he's communicating with this sort of pre-internet, international network of people, and ideologically, there was certainly no sense of the Cold War in ideological terms when I was a kid. It was just the sort of what my dad did. It was certainly no sort of, my dad liked the Russians. My dad got a medal from the Soviet Union. He had to go down to Victoria. They gave medals to all the sailors that had been in the Scapa Flow, in the convoys that went from the north of Scotland to Murmansk. And he served on destroyers then, and so he went down to Victoria and got a medal from the Russian consul.
That's wild.
Anyway, sorry.
No, it's interesting. My mother's maiden name is Pino, which means pine tree, so there's a pine, connection. Pino. Was it, and did you, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about your dad later, but was that the...
Yeah, so that project, yeah.